animals less healthy than you can't nourish you.
Are you surviving or are you thriving?
Are you too busy to live?
Do you have grain brain?
That was brain.
Fight for your life. Get your prescription for health today.
Is Mother Nature too good to be
true?
It's
not you, it's the food. It's a no-grainer.
Oh, that isn't happening to us.
It's already happening to you, woman. Join our army of Minas.
Keep the government off our farms.
Make it happen today.
It's time to drop some atomic mom bombs.
It's not me. It's you. Invest in your life.
Yay! Her name is Neethi.
Go save the bacon, mommy.
Shall we begin?
Hey friends, I am Neethi the Pharmacist, here with my co-hosts, Janae Williams and Valerie Cruz, and we are on full. Welcome to Our View.
Hey everyone, today we're so excited. We have with us Dr. Greg Barnes, who is a fully certified Max Living Chiropractor. His mission is to lead families into the highest level of health. And he has his office called Greenway Chiropractic in Raleigh, North Carolina. And if you've seen some of our other episodes, you will probably know that there's this chiropractor that we keep talking about and referring to. Well, that would be Dr. Greg Barnes, near and dear to our hearts. So we're really excited to have you today on our show.
Yay.
Thank you for joining us.
Yay.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Wow, this feels so official.
Yes. So we've been having this ongoing conversation, Doc, where we are talking about the browning of the earth. And, you know, regenerative lifestyles, you know, how a regenerative lifestyle can support reversing the browning of the earth. Because if we all don't start taking action right now and making some type of lifestyle change, it's not just something that's going to benefit one of us or just us. You know, we have to take a look at this problem from a holistic perspective. If we're not looking at these things from a whole, then, you know, it just doesn't work. So my first question for you is, you know, currently we have society kind of villainizing livestock. And I mean, as a physician who is teaching everyone how to use food as medicine, and, you know, like you're making sure that everyone in your practice is balanced holistically, then, I mean, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, is it possible for someone to gain health without livestock?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so interesting that, you know, we kind of talk about this, because just this week in my office, I had this very conversation with some really sick individuals. You know, really, there's a lot of hype and a lot of marketing right now, and, you know, many documentaries and just sort of these extremely biased, you know, agendas that are being put out there with, you know, for the average consumer to watch this, you know, they're going mm-hmm. to easily buy into it, because like you're saying, they are villainizing, you know, meat and as you say, livestock. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, meat and livestock have, I mean, been really at the center of every single cultural group, ethnic group, tribe, nation, whatever you want to call or categorize with that since, I mean, the beginning of time. I mean, there's documentation back, I mean, as long as we could possibly know, is that knowing that, you know, animals were raised, they were consumed, and they were central to the food chain. And, I mean, really, like in many cases too. I mean, you know, especially even going back to like, you know, like the first settlers here in America. I mean, I remember like reading, just kind of statements about like the fact, like during the wintertime, you know, a lot of times they would bring the cow like inside the house with the family because it would keep everybody warm, you know, it's like they were all in it together. You know, it was like a team effort, to stay alive in harsh conditions. So, yeah, you know, in my opinion, you know, we were meant to eat, you know, meat. And unfortunately, I think if you don't, I mean, just what we know scientifically now is that you're missing out on vital nutrients, amino acids that you can't get anywhere else. And you know, obviously certain types of fats too, without consuming, you know, with meat. So yeah, I think it's impossible, to be healthy as an individual without consuming, you know, at least a certain portion of meat every single day.
But isn't it true that when you go on a no meat eating habit, you do lose weight and you do, I guess, feel better?
Well, so here's my perception of that. Usually people that, you know, like a common popular one that a lot of people did, especially a lot of churches do, is something called the Daniel fast, which is kind of like a no meat, you know, diet. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with the Daniel fast, but what I find is that a lot of people, when they do like this kind of, they would call that like a shift or like a diet. Well, what usually goes along with it is they also stop eating potato chips, McDonald's, and all the meat that they were eating was like processed fast food meat. So sure, if you go from a Chick-fil-A, Subway, you know, McDonald's, Hardee's, you know, Arby's diet, and then you go to like, well, what's left? I you know, fruits and vegetables. Like, yeah, like, I mean, I think most people are going to lose weight if you do that too. So the answer is yes, but that's like, you know, what you're saying, like that's a perfect example of how like, okay, well, that may be true, but that's not the full truth behind that story, you know, like, so yeah, I mean, you go off, you know, anybody goes off that, they're going to lose weight.
And it's temporary, right? Like, okay. So I always tell everyone, I'm like, if you're not going to do anything else, you know, and you want to try to gain health, then how about you just don't eat wheat? And, you know, you don't even have to understand or believe anything about whether it should just be like, you know, I don't know, all these different paleo, vegan, whatever you want to call it, different diets. Instead of arguing about all of that, what if you just didn't eat wheat? And I'm not even saying don't eat grain. I'm saying just don't eat wheat. Because interestingly, wheat is in everything, and soy sauce and in whatever. So if you're really trying to avoid wheat, the same thing happens like what you just said. Like, you know, all of a sudden they can't eat at a restaurant. They can't eat in a lot of places because wheat is everywhere. But they can make something at home and they start cooking.
Yeah.
Miracles happen because they start cooking food. And so you don't even actually have to go on a Daniel diet or whatever. I mean, but people, I think it's interesting. You do one of those things and they, all of a sudden they can't have fast food. They can't.
Yeah. I mean, it's the scientific reference for that is what's known as, correlation does not equal causation. So, you know, it might be common that all people that, you know, reduce meat or go off meat will lose some weight, but that doesn't mean that that's the specific cause of why it's happening. And of course too, you know, and I'm sure your listeners and your viewers are going to become, you know, are educated on this, some will become even more educated on this too, but it's like, well, when you look at the China study and all these documentaries that are coming out talking about the damaging effects of meat, those are quotes, by the way. You know, the damaging effects of meat, you know, we're talking about like there's no classification or there's no specification of what does that mean as far as the meats? Because, I mean, to my knowledge, there's never been a study that's shown, okay, well, let's put a group of 1,000 people eating, you know, the type of livestock that, you know, you ladies talk about, and then, well, let's just take some stuff off the shelf at Food Lion and put people on that and show me what the different health outcomes would be.
Exactly. You know,
outcomes from that. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I, yeah, sure. You put people that are eating just terrible, you know, red meat and, you know, chicken, like, yeah, like they're not, you know, I could see many, 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 disease processes forming in their bodies because of that, those choices, but it doesn't mean it's the meat's fault. You know, like that cow didn't get to choose what it ate. Right. So it's not its fault that it made you sick. If you, you know, were eating, you know, a McDonald's hamburger every single day. Right. And I know I keep throwing terms out, but I'm using the McDonald's hamburger so people know, like, very specifically what I'm talking about. Poor quality, you know, not naturally raised.
I mean, let's just be honest, though. Angus Barn or some of these other high-end restaurants, their beef is the same. I mean, right. Well, yeah. Okay, maybe they don't have pink slime. I'll give them that much. Like, you know, they've got, like, great, like, actual probably
meat. It was cooked
in
an expensive kitchen. You know?
Yeah, it is right. A very expensive. They have a kitchen. How about why don't we just say they have a kitchen?
Yeah,
because I think a lot of these, even, you know, it's, I think people will be surprised to know that if they go to many of the restaurants that they go to, they actually don't even have a kitchen in the back. I mean, if you ask someone to maybe use butter instead of canola oil to make something because you're out with friends and you want a cleaner option, you know, to try to adjust what it is that you're having, you'll be surprised to find out they don't have a kitchen and they don't have any way to do that because they're like microwaving your food in the back or steaming it or something of that nature.
Yeah. What I think is really interesting, and I'll finish this point and then if you want to move on to the next question or whatever, but you know, when meat gets villainized, you know, to my knowledge, the only like major study that I'm aware of that's ever been done on, you know, grass fed beef. And when I say grass fed beef, I can't, because I don't know enough of the specific details of the study. So I can't, you know, it's probably not even as strict of guidelines that, you know, we would talk about that are important. But let's just say, you know, grass fed beef versus grain fed beef. And when they looked at the fatty acid ratios, this was done out of the University of North Dakota State University back in like the early 2000s, I think. And when they looked at the fatty acid ratios of omega-6 to omega-3, they found that, so in grain-fed beef, just as a reference point, usually the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 will be somewhere between 20 to 24 to 1, where when they looked at the ratios of grass-fed beef, it ranged anywhere from 2 to 4 to 1. So, you know, either 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. And what's really interesting, what we now know about science as far as having the optimal fatty acid ratios in human blood, actually found that it needs to be the exact same ratio, so 4 to 1 or 2 to 1. You know, there's kind of some studies that different kind of, there's a little bit of discrepancy like which one or the other, but 2 to 1, 4 to 1, whatever, let's just call it 3. And so what's really interesting in that is that if an animal is fed, specifically cows, right, are fed exactly what their diet intended to be, it is the exact perfect fatty acid ratio balance that what the human body needs. Wow. I don't know. I can't call that a coincidence, right?
No.
And what's interesting then is that most Americans, we do this testing in our clinic too, their ratios of omega-6 to omega-1 usually are around 20 to 1. So almost the exact ratio of what a grain-fed cattle you'd find, like the beef in that. So we can seriously say in this scenario, you are what you eat, or you become, you know, what you eat in that sense. And I just can't call that a coincidence, you know, like that's just silly to try to call that a coincidence, but pretty cool at the same time. So hopefully this movement that you guys are, you know, honestly, I would say spearheading, I mean, there's at least at the forefront of it, people can start waking up and realizing that we need money to do more and more of these studies and actually look at health outcomes of the exact, you know, when people are fed a regenerative lifestyle, you know, eating plan, okay, for lack of a better term, and even comparing that to, let's say, like a whole foods eating plan or like just eating a kind of a whole foods diet. And, you know, without knowing, but I'm not a betting man, but that's something I could easily bet on and put money on saying like the people that ate the regenerative lifestyle would even be healthier than people that were on, you know, a whole foods diet or just an organic diet or, you know, just a grass fed beef, you know, store-bought diet, hands down.
So what do you see in your patients? Because there's many of us that are in your practice
Yeah.
Do you notice a difference in the ones of us that are on the regenerative diet versus not? I mean, you're the expert on that. You're watching it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, without question, and you know, I deal a lot with people that are in transition. So, you know, what's interesting is that when people, you know, make a switch from just doing the standard American diet to then, let's say, you know, organic, I mean, that just right, that makes a big jump, right?
Of course.
You know, for people, I mean, I'm a massive jump. And then, you know, when they take that another layer, like, let's say then they get their meat on point fully, like, that's another big jump.
Sure.
But
even eliminating some things, like going organic and eliminating things based on what we know, you know, to be dangerous, or, you know, like focusing on cooking, even if it's from the store, is different than just,
for sure,
you know, cans, well, boxes.
And I think in the short run, it might be a little bit hard to tell some of the judgment because there's so many factors there. But again, like, we're going to be the ones that are around consistently at 90, 100, 110, 120 years old because of those, the high, you know what I mean? Like that extra level of way that we are living, you know, not just living a natural, you know, healthy lifestyle. I'm using quotes a lot.
Well, the investment, you know, that we all choose to make is, you know, all of us aren't perfect either. And we're all also healing. So it's not like, it's that easy to just say, oh, well, they're thriving more because of just this one thing, because we already know it's the whole. Right. We keep going back to the fact that if we're not viewing it from the whole body, the whole, you know, balance, even with those of us with families, then it's the whole family. It's difficult because we're all impacting each other, or struggling because one person in the house won't stop buying potato chips or something.
Well, and no, you're right. And, you know, like you were saying, long-term is really going to be the telltale, but yes. Like, I would totally, like, for me at, I'm 33 now, and, you know, this year has been like a kind of a significant milestone for me, because I have now at 33, I have now been getting, adjusted chiropractic adjustments longer than I went in my life not getting adjusted. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, but I still went the first 16 years of my life getting, you know, zero adjustments. And, you know, when I hit like around age 44, well, then that'll be the point when I have now been living and eating a healthy diet, like, you know, more years than I had not been eating a healthy diet.
Yeah.
But then it's still going to be like, not until I'm the age of like, you know, whatever, like in my 50s, when I'll have been eating the highest quality of meat, like from, you know, that you provide, you know, Neethi, as not. So, you know, I'd like to think that, like, you know, 1 year of healthy living might cancel out 10 years of bad living. That's probably not realistic, you know, but
I don't know. You know, like, what, Doc? Like, you know, I think that you, like, you know, and please explain this to us. This would be interesting, is on a cellular level, then how quickly, you know, because somebody said to me, one gentleman was arguing with me that he didn't think the food was that big of a deal. And I have heard medical physicians, which I find this incredibly irresponsible, saying that food can't be medicine. Impossible, because, you know, it can be poison. So please, what are your thoughts on that on a cellular level? And knowing how quickly our cells regenerate in the body and us, I mean, obviously there's going to be bioaccumulation and, you know, obviously you can go down that rabbit hole, but please tell us how quickly, because I've seen people improve their health in 7 days. Put them on protocol with real food, then I can see a lot of improvement in only 7 days. So, and I've even seen that. And obviously it's even written in Wheat Belly that if you stop eating wheat, he tells you to do a 7-day test of just eliminating it for 7 days. So please, I think all the listeners would love to know what you know about cellular healing.
Well, I mean, ultimately, we are only as healthy as our cells are. And you're right. I mean, within 1 year, scientists found that within, you know, roughly 360, you know, 5+ days, every single cell in your body has been replaced with a, you know, a new one. I mean, literally every single cell. Wow. So you know,
said 365 days?
Yeah, it's like right around a year. I don't remember the exact number, but, you know, usually they just round it down up to, you know, a year with that. And so, you know, technically, yeah, with based on that, I mean, theoretically, you have, a, you know, could be a completely, do a complete flip-flop in your health in a year, because you'd have the ability to nourish new cells, change your DNA, have your DNA making, you know, expressing all the health, you know, all the health factors instead of disease factors, you know, within a year's time. So for me, I just like to, I like to scrutinize myself, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. I'm like, you know, like I'm gonna live pessimistically, and I'm gonna be like, all right, I want to live hardcore enough, and just tell myself, you know what, I can't take the foot off the gas now just because I am healthy and I feel good. Like for me, I'm now it's like, okay, because I drank a ton of Mountain Dew in my teenage years, like that's why I'm still going to make sure that I'm not doing these other things, you know, right? So like, sure. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just meaning like, okay, how can I just be critical of myself to make sure I continually to take it up, to, you know, take it up a notch on that. But when it comes to like, you know, people arguing with you about food can't be medicine, and I mean doctors, I mean lay people, I mean, it's a little bit hard because it's like, okay, where are they coming from? Do they just have a deeply rooted emotional issue that, you know, like they can't just, you know, get over? With physicians that say that, I don't know. It's like, am I going to go academic with you on this? Like, it's not even on the same level, or could we just go
academic? Go academic. Because it makes me so, I find it very irresponsible. And they say that to people who are, you know, having their lives threatened right now. For example, I have someone who is having a threat of surgery. So she's trying really hard to get around that. And you know, we're working on nutrition. I'm telling her, you know, I really want her to come to see you, but, you know, that's also something else. But, you know, physicians have told her impossible that she can turn it around unless she has surgery. And I said, I actually took a line from you where I said to them, you know, like, did you just think that you just accidentally have this body part that they just want to cut out? Because it was just an extra, it was just a mistake something.
It's challenging because it's almost like we all are responsible to ask questions. Mm-hmm. We have to ask questions.
Yeah.
People are used to just taking that expert's word. I actually, you know, my brother, he was dealing with the VA, which is a special animal in and of itself. Yeah. And he went in there really sick, and they never took any blood. They didn't take any tests. They didn't do anything. They sent him away. And I said, why did you leave? Because he told me, I even though I did have some questions and I asked him, he said, you're fine, but you didn't feel fine. So why didn't you? It's like, he said, this is the doctor they're supposed to know. And I really truly believe that most people are kind of stuck in that. And the doctors, yes, it's not that we're saying that we don't believe in them, but we're partnering with them. We have to take responsibility for our own health and ask questions. Yeah. And like you said, go academic.
Yeah.
We have to. Like, I feel a very strong conviction about that. I have to go academic. I have learned that once I go academic, then they realize, oh, I think she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, well, so we'd love to get
closer attention.
I have a different perspective on that, which is why I think Dr. Barnes is torn. Because why do we need all the studies? Why do we need all the proof? Why do we need all this words when we have people who have done it?
Yeah,
We have testimony after testimony. I'm sure you have patient after patient. And I myself have gone through a journey. All three of us have gone through a journey.
Yeah.
So why do we need the academics? To me, that wastes precious time that you can use for something else.
And if
it's
you're not
the distraction,
deeply.
But you know, it's the social engineering that we were talking about from the beginning, that we're trying to wake people up, Doc. We want a vocabulary from you that can help them. This is what the show is about. We are trying to help create a vocabulary for people so that they, you know, I was talking with another person who, when she started asking the questions, taking the responsibility, then this physician threw his arms up at her and said, you're supposed to just do what I say, basically. Yeah. You know, I mean, I find it completely irresponsible. I mean, we're talking about bullying now from the physician to, and he's basically saying, like, how dare you? And I'm like thinking, you know, how dare you, you know, how irresponsible of you not to, first of all, can you not answer my question? I'm confused.
Yeah.
You can't answer the question. So you're throwing your hands up at me. And I don't know that I've ever asked you a question as a physician. You're our physician. I've asked you a lot of hard questions. If you don't know something, you've even said, I'm really not sure about that or whatever. I can respect that more than for someone to throw their hands up at me. How about research it with me? We could both Google it together. Right.
So with for me on the academic thing, here's what I find. A lot of doctors are, they're just grossly uneducated on that. I mean, honestly, like the reason why I can rarely go academic with them, not because I can't, but I don't, because it's like, honestly, talking to like, if it's not like on what drug do I prescribe in this scenario, it's like talking to like, it's the same, like, it's like having a conversation with my 3-year-old. I'll ask Nora, like, why did you do that? And she's like, because I did. Like, there's no like thought process and like explanation that I can do to like, pull reasoning out of her, or like, well, the reason why you shouldn't do that is this. It's just like, it's just because I did. That's why. So now on an individual, so I don't believe that is that all that. I haven't had much success with that on an individual level. Now the academics are needed on a macrocosm because the medical system's gold standard are randomized controlled, double blind clinical trials, and they don't change anything unless those are in place. So that's needed to like shift the system is what those are needed for. But as far as like getting individuals to wake up, I tend to agree more with what Ms. Valerie said about just, you know, like if you can't believe like this mountain of proof that you can talk to, see with your very own eyes and touch and what interact with, like,
you're not allowed to feel. I mean, you're not allowed to do that, Doc. I mean, like, you know, that's what we also were saying, right? We said your innate instincts have been, you know, like stolen from us or something. Right. And like, you know, people aren't using any type of common sense anymore. So I hope that with this show, you know, we can also help create that independence, that confidence, that, you know, why aren't you feeling confident that you should, you know, I mean, like with this scenario, with the physician throwing the hands up, I mean, that's just rude.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, I mean, it's unprofessional, but it's rude. It's just not common courtesy. Like, you know, I would feel that physician had no respect for me as a human being. And I wouldn't want to work with them just based on that alone. And I find that a lot of people feel bullied into, you know, cutting themselves open, throwing away body parts or whatever, which are big, big deals. I mean, can you please tell us from your practice, you know, the experience that you have? I know that there are people in your practice that have had body parts cut out that you're trying to help recover. And, you know, I think it's amazing, you know, that nature has so much grace and that our bodies are able to even recover or function or fight for our lives, even when someone's cut something out. But why don't you talk about that? Because you've seen those miracles and you're working with a lot of those people too.
Well, if you want proof at how amazing the human body is, take the fact that even in, you know, our city here in Raleigh, there's probably hundreds of thousands of people that haven't had a vegetable in years and they're still alive.
Yes.
Right. Or there are kids that have like never had a vegetable and they're not like brain dead.
Wow.
Right.
It is so amazing.
I mean, really like that, whenever I have like doubts of how amazing the human body is, I look at how insanely amazing things it can do with very little. I mean, or in some cases, like nothing. And I mean, all the time, you know, you can still see cases of, like, of, you know, kids and people doing amazing things. And honestly, you know what I think about it? I'm always thinking about, like, watching it, like, and I'm blown away, but I'm like, man, how much more amazing would they be if they were unvaccinated, they were adjusted, mm-hmm. they were eating the foods that we know are to be good. Like, I mean, we take that and multiply it by 10, right?
Amazing.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and when I don't get out very much. And so, like when I do, it's still pretty earth shattering, like, you know, to be around like other kids, like, you know, my daughter's age and, or a little bit older. I mean, I remember being at a party and, like, you know, my daughter was sitting at the kids' table and, you know, like she was eating the salad and, you know, there's like this 5 or 6 year old, you know, next to her, not. And like the mom of this other child was like looking at her like, oh, like, she's eating a salad. And then she literally, she said this, and I don't think she like realized that she said it, but she's like, and I forget his name, but he's like, I don't think Johnny has ever had a salad. And I'm like, the kid's 5 years old. He's never had lettuce before. You know, and that's not even the most nutrient dense food. Right. But it's like, he hasn't even had a stinking salad like ever in his life.
It's and sad.
Yeah, it's literally sad.
Like, dead. He's literally not dead. Right. Sad. Like it's just,
that's right.
So, I mean, I had to meet you 41 years later, maybe it was 40 years later. I met you. You were the one that shook me from my state. You know, we talk about being awake. We all need to wake up, right? Because, you know, we were talking about the movements and the different, you know, taking one thing and changing it. I had a whole lifetime of doing that, thinking I was doing the right thing, you know? And then I meet you and you wake me up from mm-hmm. being in a sad situation. Mm-hmm. And I was trying my best, you know? Yeah. And I really do respect that, the fact that you help people in a gradual way, because I don't know if I could have taken on regenerative at the time that I met you. But I certainly did start understanding the quality of foods and nutrients and being able to nourish myself, you know? So it's like, I really hear you when you're saying, you know, it's better, you know, if they're coming from McDonald's and then they make that change to just stop doing fast food and soda, you know, and then you kind of slowly, gradually take things away by helping them with their big why. That's an important thing. If it's just about getting skinny, it's not going to do it. I you know, I've been on a Daniel fast, they may say, and I feel great. Okay. Let's see how, you know, where this ends up, because you're going to need to really understand the importance of what you're doing to stick with it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you, Dr. Burns, because you attack the individual, the community, and the global levels so brilliantly. Yeah. What's your strategy in doing that?
Well, you know, I'd like to think that I have special, but I do wake up and put my pants on the same way as anybody else, you know, one leg at a time. But you know, I do it with a purpose, and I live by the motto, you know, like, if it's to be, it's up to me. Like, you know, like I'm not going to wait for Duke to get their act together with their resources and be like, oh, we're going to now fix all this. I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait for that. You know, like there's too many people dying in the meantime and too many people that can't wait for the world to wake up. So, I mean, it's just a mission, I guess. I guess my strategy is to just always keep, my number one strategy is probably just to always keep reminding myself why, like you just talked about, Janae, why I do what I do. You know, it's for the kids that, you know, come to my office where their parents, like, they're so sensory, just messed up that, like, they don't know what to do. They don't eat. They can't, they don't talk. I just met with a mother, of an autistic child, and she actually found me on Facebook and just, anyway, she's like, she's never heard her child say anything, let alone I love you. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't even imagine what that would be like to not hear your kid talk because they're vaccine damaged and just so nutrient deprived and so subluxated, much less like not hear like your kids saying, you know, hey, I love you, Dad, or I love you, Daddy. You know, like I can't imagine what my life would be like if Nora never said that, you know, on a regular basis. We're doing it for the mom who, single mom, who's so just stressed out and fatigued and, you know, trying to make ends meet and just, you know, life, her health's falling apart because she's trying to put her kids first, which is very noble, but she doesn't have the knowledge or the resources or really like the self-value to realize like, if I don't take care of myself, if the ship goes down, if the captain goes down with the ship, everybody dies, right? In this
That's
household.
Right. Yep.
You know, and it's for the people that also, it's the people that think that they're walking around fine. I'm doing great. I'm doing okay. No, I shop at Whole Foods, or no, I have a membership at Lifetime Fitness. And because they think the people that actually think that they're okay are the ones that scare me the most, because they're the ones that are going to be unwilling to make changes, right? And they're the ones that drop dead of a heart attack all of a sudden out of nowhere. And everybody around them says, that doesn't make any sense. Like Joe was, you know, he worked out at the gym. He shopped at Whole Foods. He never took a sick day, whatever it is. And that's, well, Joe was missing something. And because Joe just assumed he was okay, like he didn't take the amount of action that he needed to take. So, you know, I think it's always about, and I think a lot of people that are watching this too, I'm going to make an assumption that they probably think they've made it to a certain level with their health, and that's dangerous. I mean, I'm always looking for the next way to improve, you know, my health. We just got a whole house water filtration system installed in our house here the other day. And I'm like, you know, I've been meaning to do that for a while, but I'm like, dang, I'm like, you know, I was drinking out of a lot of like plastic water bottles because I didn't because I didn't have a lot of clean water. But it's like, well, now great, I can be now 100% plastic free, because I should have no excuses anymore. That's of great. Having clean water around me all the time. I'm right on, you know, right now my laptop sitting on a you know EMF shielding, you know, thing. So I'm not, you know, blasting my body with the radiation that's giving off of, you know, and I have low level, you know, amber lights in my house. So if I need to have a night light on, it's not, you know, jacking up my circadian rhythms. If I have to wake up, use the bathroom, you know, so like, there's always like another level. And, you know, I think the most dangerous thing to think is like, well, I got this health thing figured out. So, you know, now it's smooth sailing from here. I'm like, you know, that's the shift is always, how can I get better? How can I get healthier? What's the next best thing I can do for myself and my family? You know, what do we either need to add in or eliminate or whatever it is? And if you don't know the answer, well, then I would suggest you keep tuning in. You know, if you're people that are watching, keep tuning into this show and others like it, and, you know, never stop learning.
Doc, is there something that you notice about people that are ready? Like, I know it's easier to go on the other side and see signs of when they're not, but I know for the three of us, we came to your door ready.
Yeah.
You know, do you know those signs? Could you tell us what those would be?
Well, off the top of my head, I mean, I would say like just what I talked about, it's humbleness. It's like, you know, like I want to be healthy, but I don't really know what to do and I need help. So humbleness in admitting that. A lot of times the people have tried multiple different things and maybe had some success or didn't, but like the fact is like they're in search mode. So they're like, well, I tried the paleo diet, I tried the ketogenic, you know, they're trying all these things, right? And you know, they might have gotten some results, but they're kind of keep looking. A lot of times, unfortunately, it's tragedy, it's personal tragedy of some kind, whether it's for themselves, you know, or somebody around them. I mean, one of my most recent patients who lost 40 pounds and, you know, just had a lot of, you know, she just got like a lot of great changes. She's no longer a diabetic and all these amazing things. And, you know, she just said that she's like, I woke up one morning and I realized if I don't make a change, my husband is going to be taking care of me too soon. Like he's going to have to become my caretaker. And so it wasn't like the tragedy didn't fully hit, but like she saw the tragedy was coming too in her life if she didn't make that change too. So, but again, that kind of goes back to like, she was humble enough to realize if I don't make a change, it's game over, you know? Anything else? I mean, you gotta be, the person also has to be willing to just do what it takes. Cause there's a lot of also like people that think they're ready, but they're actually not. I think there's way more people that think they're ready, but they're actually not, than people that are not ready, if that makes sense, if I said that right.
I kind of like those people, Doc. Like, you know, what's really cool is when you get one of those people and they're like, not maybe ready, you know, like you say, but it's interesting. They don't go away. Like, you know, I think it's cool when they, you know, I have a lot of those folks, even in the CSA, that do the same thing. They'll come mm-hmm. in and just, you know, I'm just happy to see them every week. I mean, absolutely. Just the fact that they yep. show, they arrive.
They keep showing you know? Up. Yeah, that's
yeah. They just arrive.
Quality. They just keep showing up. Yeah, yeah.
It's yep. they're brave to just yep. arrive, and I really really love it. And I think that you know I've never seen anyone who arrives who doesn't grow, mm-hmm. and I think it's like a lot of fun to watch them grow. You know. And some of them, it's amazing, like, you know, they'll hang out for 3 years and all of a sudden this light bulb goes off and they just like go, oh my God, like I didn't realize all yeah. these solutions were right here for all this big long time and it's so easy and why didn't I ever do it? And they're just all in all of a sudden.
You know, we're all as human beings stubborn enough to, you know, in certain areas, not stubbornness in a bad way, but it's just like we need to hear certain things enough times before it finally clicks. And mm-hmm. that's okay. And that's why you just keep showing up. Like you said, I mean, if it's like, well, I can't wrap my head around this piece. Well, then just keep wrestling with it. You know, like don't just like throw it away then because you can't accept it yet. But it's like, if it's important to you, you'll keep wrestling with it. And eventually you'll come to the conclusion, whatever that might be. And then, sure. and then when you think you come to the conclusion, then you realize, well, no, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Right.
It's yeah. true. It's true.
I kind of see this movement. I'll call it a movement, that's happening right now as, I actually am encouraged by it. At one point I was frustrated and upset, because you know, it is sort of an attack on animals, on livestock, but yet yeah. and still, I think it's people making a step. It is actually folks saying, I know something's not right or something's mm-hmm. wrong with mm-hmm. with me. And mm-hmm. Even though they may be pointing the finger, I mean, people do it for many different reasons. But
yep.
right now, I think the droves are going, you know, kind of pointing the fingers at this one thing. And they're absolutely right, because mm-hmm. for the most part, like we said earlier, what conventional meat is very, very, very bad for you, you know, but I think of it as an encouragement, like, and what you said about the long term, it will come through in the long term. Now, I want everyone to be successful.
Yeah.
But certainly when it comes to nature, you can't mm-hmm. just remove one thing and be okay. That yeah. kind of comes through in the long term. And I think that I'm ready to coach, you know, I know you are, Neethi, Valerie, ready to be there when things start to change.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that sounds kind of grim, but yet and still.
Or hopeful. I mean, yeah. I don't know that it's grim at all.
That's
I think
true.
That, you know, there's an awakening that's happening
yes.
and it needs to happen. And I think that, you know, we've allowed, you know, I said this before too, Doc, we were talking about the fact that the reason the earth is browning is because we have allowed, like, we think it's like a government problem. Everybody's waiting for some politician to like mm-hmm. save us or something or change
yeah.
something, when it's actually going to take only ordinary people to make the change. So, you know, and you can call it consumers, you can call it whatever. I mean, everyone has to make a decision. You know, they just
yeah.
have to change their mind and decide that we are not going to participate in this anymore. But we're trying to create the awareness of what's happening. And what's happening is that instead of having like a sovereign government, we have, you know, corporations that are actually running the programs in
mm-hmm.
the government. And
yeah.
it's a conflict of interest issue. And
yeah.
I don't know why no one is saying those words. So I'm hoping that, you know, someone will watch this and like realize it, because I want everyone to try to look at who are at the head of like the USDA and, you know, all of these governmental oversight organizations. when they realize that it's corporations that are doing it, it's actually only two or three corporations, mm-hmm. then, you know, they're actually, you know, it's interesting to me that they're able to oversee themselves and profit over the suffering of all the people. We all know this. Anyone who's really paying attention, I mean, that's actually what's happening. But we don't have to participate. What's your suggestion? Because I really, you know, love all the, you know, cool perspectives and talks that you give. You're really, really, really good at that. So what is your suggestion, or how do you think we can get people to realize this and, you know, and not just look at it because they're trying to lose weight, for example? Like, I feel like that's kind of the small thing. But like a bigger thing, like you know, why isn't anyone else feeling assaulted when the loaf of bread has all these chemicals in the ingredient list, or anything for that matter, has this long list? Why isn't anyone going after? Like, we don't need to go after the companies because, you know, I don't need to tell anybody else how to run their business. Okay, but what about the people who are responsible for overseeing them or overseeing the quality? You know, even for organic, you know, no one's talking about processes.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. What do you think? Was my question good?
Yeah. I was like, I'm following you, but I was kind of actually, you were just spitting out so many good points. I kind of got lost in what you actually were asking me. So simplify it to one question or one sentence again there.
Well, I want to wake everybody up to kind of, you know, realize this conflict of interest.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, so
maybe that's the question.
Yeah. Well, here's the good thing is that we live in a day and an age when the earth has shrunk to an enormously small level in the sense that the ability to get information out is, it's at an unprecedented, like easy level, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the videos that we all see on Facebook that have like 3 million or 300 million views, right? Like they might have come from like a small third world country in Africa that was just filming that, and then it just gets spread around. So, I mean, I think step number one is awareness. You just got to be aware that something needs to change. And then, you know, a lot of it is that it's kind of like what Janae said a few minutes ago, but like, it always makes me think of the analogy of like, if you're on a plane, the plane's going down, like you got to put your own dang oxygen mask on first mm-hmm. before you assist others, even your loved ones. So I'm like, we all just got to continue to make sure that we have our own oxygen masks on because we have to lead from the front, you know, in a sense of like how we are living. And, you know, it's almost impossible to give a gift to someone for something that you don't have yourself, meaning like you can't give the gift of health to someone if you don't have that, you know, health yourself. You can't. So that's why, like, you know, with doctors and all these things they're saying, like, well, if they're not healthy themselves, like, how can they give you the gift of health? You know, like, if they're not a healthy person, like, how are they going to possibly ever make you healthy, right? So, I mean, if these big organizations are just destroying land and just destroying animals and just destroying that whole culture, like how can we not, how can our world be a better place through destruction? Right.
Sure. Yes.
It can't happen. Right. Now on the other side of that, to use like another analogy, because they are doing that, I mean, there's also beautiful things in nature that, you know, nature always finds a way, right? So like, you know, when there's massive forest fires, that's part of like the cleansing process, and then new life grows up behind it, right? You know, in mythology, there's a phoenix, you know, when it burns down, it's like it's reborn again anew. So I think, you know, I don't know if we're at the point yet where we've kind of reached maximal possible destruction of our earth.
Do we got to go that far, guys?
I hope that
people will rise before that.
I mean, unfortunately, like history repeats itself. And I think like usually the biggest changes come out of the greatest points of, you know, suffering. So I pray to God, I hope it's not that. But we might have already hit that point, you know, like I don't know. I mean, I definitely know there are more people awake and more people on this movement, as you said. So maybe that's a sign that we already hit that rock bottom and it's starting to like,
rise,
spring upward again from that. I think that's very possible. I don't know. I hope it is. And I think more and more people living this way, more and more people being awake, the fact that like the food that's on their shelves is on the grocery store is not quality, not the best, you know, realizing that, you know, what we're doing to our kids is not working. Despite what the experts say, you know, that the fact that, you know, how we're taking care of ourselves as society is not working. I think the fact that more and more people are challenging their doctors is a sign that the medical system has already hit rock bottom and it's starting to spring back the other way. The problem though, is that they also know they've hit rock bottom. So they're just going harder at us. Like with, you know, this flu stuff, it's like on every other, right? So like, you realize less people have gotten the flu shot. So they're going harder at it because it's like they're trying to dig a deeper hole to like dig out of a hole.
Right.
And, you know, that can scare people back into their ways, right? But I think it also...
Scaring them. I mean, I hope they heard you say that.
Yeah.
I hope they heard you say that. So, Doc, we're about, you know, heading into the hour here. So you know, words of wisdom do you want to leave everyone with at the end of this episode? Anything in particular?
Well, I mean, we've all definitely dropped some wisdom bombs as we go along here for sure. But I mean, I think that it you know, for everybody watching this here, know that, and I say this all the time, but it's still worth being said. I mean, your health is literally the greatest asset you have. I don't care how much money you have, how amazing of a material life you might have, or how many numbers you have behind your name on paper or in the bank or whatever. It's like, I mean, Steve Jobs was one of the richest people in the world, and you know, all the money in the world didn't save him. You know, it's not like he needed 10 billion or 20 billion, and that would have, you know, allowed him to live a full long life, right? So, like your health matters. The health of your family matters. Every decision that you make in the right direction for your health matters, even if it doesn't show and like doesn't like seem like it right away. It matters. And just don't stop. And like, I mean, all I can say is, you know, being where I'm at with my health and my life, my family's life, and just seeing that, like, man, life is good in this space. Like it really is. Like, you know, it's not perfect, but life is really stinking good with, knowing that, you know, my kids are going to be raised healthier than I was. And, you know, they are, I mean, it's already, you know, clear. And I know that because of that, my grandparent and my grandkids are going to be even healthier.
Sure.
Because of the kind of foundation we're laying, you know, right now too. So, I think that's cool is that we, you know, everything you're doing right now for your family's health is creating generational health. You know, who cares about generational wealth? Generational health is where it's at. And that's where the focus needs to be on.
Amen.
Yeah. Good job. I do believe that what you're doing, you know, for your family, for the community, you're sowing an awesome seed.
Yes,
you are. Yeah.
And it's growing. And so you just keep your joy. I love your optimistic perspective because I believe that we're going in that direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking forward to what the future holds. And I think this is something, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something what you're doing. And if it wasn't for what you were doing, I don't think the three of us would be doing what we're doing.
Well, I was doing what I was doing, but I definitely, I think that you definitely helped me take the CSA and everything that I'm doing to a completely different level. I mean, absolutely, you know, it's really difficult to find professionals who are willing to accept and understand the power of life-giving force, and you knew it, and that's a big deal. I mean, you know, there were no physicians that were interested in partnering with me to talk about food as medicine. Which, I mean, I was always confused about why they wouldn't want to do that. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, not to mention, you know, the the health that you help, you know, my family support, for sure. You know, I mean, I'm older than you, so I've been around a little bit longer, and I had to have physicians before you were even ready to heal people. Yeah. But I tell everybody, and I'm going to tell everybody today right now who's watching, you know, the thing that I love about you, Doc, is that you get high on healing. And I've said this time and time again. I say it to a lot of people that, you know, you have this healing touch. And I'm not just meaning like, you know, yeah, you're very powerful in the way that you're educating people. But, and you can't know this, which you pointed out to me one time and I never thought about it, but you can't adjust yourself, so you don't know that about yourself. But
right.
I've been with many different chiropractors and, you know, other holistic physicians that I've worked with. And I'm saying that you have a healing touch that you don't even know about. But, you know, anyone who comes to see you, they will experience it and they will know, like, right away. And thank you so much for everything that you do for my family and also for our community and for supporting the regenerative lifestyle, because you don't have to do that as a physician. You know, yeah. It isn't something that many physicians do. Every holistic physician isn't doing that. So I would also even argue that, you know, for the people who are trying to figure out how to find a good holistic physician, we'll find out if they're supporting regenerative lifestyle, because they True. Should definitely be promoting, you know, a proper diet. And, you know, you've spoken to me about, you know, with all of our grieving and the loss that I have to overcome, and, you know, health isn't just physical. It isn't just what we put into our body. It's how our mind, how strong our mind is, what we're thinking about, you know, and you've definitely helped coach me on all of those fronts. And I know that you do it with other people. I've watched you do it. And, you know, that's the thing that's so awesome about working.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode just on that, couldn't we, right?
Yes, we yes, can. Sir.
Yes,
and,
we can.
You know, for me, and I'll finish with this, but, like, you know, there are certainly times when, you know, we can all, you know, go to bed at night after maybe a hard day or a hard conversation and have this, like, feeling inside of us that we want to be like, you know what, I just can't wait to, like, tell the world or tell that person, like, I told you so. But, you know, we have to remember to just keep in perspective and shift it, just to be like, you know, I can't wait until the day when it's just like we can give that person a hug, or, like, mm-hmm. the world sort of collectively a hug, and just be like, hey, it's all good. Aren't you glad that
yeah,
we're here
welcome.
Now in this place, right? Instead
right.
of, like, spite, it's just like we're all here ready to just welcome whoever, whenever, with just open arms, with a hug and a loving embrace, and just being just like we're here for it. We're here for you, you know? We're here
yes.
for you.
Awesome. Yep. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate that you joined us. And I mean, I hope that we'll be able to have you, you know, that you'll want to come back on. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you ladies are doing an awesome thing. I think this is just brilliant what you're doing, and more power to you, and I'll help spread and promote whatever way I can.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Friends, we hope that this production has served you in some way today. If you would like to hear more shows like this, please help us grow our army of Minas by visiting our website and making a donation today. We are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and, you know, I ask that you please like and share this video, follow us on Facebook, become involved with us on Instagram and Twitter, and all of our links can be found in the show notes. Thank you.